This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for coming back to the Danny Mac Podcast, courtesy of the Bet Rivers Podcast Network. Glad you're here. Those of you who are watching on YouTube, thank you for giving me your eyes in addition to your ears, and I'm treating you to what my terrestrial partner, Oak Park Vandy, calls my Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young vibe. Got the sweatshirt on today. The hair is clean, but it's unkempt. Got a nice beard going on, and just like in the chill station, I think is what that means. And I'm a little stuffy. So while I may look stoned or unrested, I'm neither right now. I am excited to talk to you today about Kevin Warren, the Bears CEO, who last week spent an 18-minute visit with Jarrod Payton on Channel 9. And he unveiled some thoughts about this upcoming offseason, the Bears' new stadium project in Arlington Heights, and the continuity in the front office and how important that is to them. And I did not consume much national media or local media, for that matter, last week. I had seen enough of the typical us against them that you found with the Kelce and Taylor Swift controversy. I'd seen enough, frankly, of the Tony Romo criticisms, and I'm at the forefront of it. I laid the first bricks in the off with his head campaign for Romo, but I was sick of it. So I took a long break. I don't know what was said, most importantly, by local talk show hosts or the scribes, if anybody is scribing, if Paul Sullivan from what used to be called the world's greatest newspaper can take his nose away from baseball and talk about the Bears CEO and what he said to Payton. I missed it. So I am ignorant to that, but I didn't hear anybody talking about what I inferred from the interview, so that's where I want to go with you on this edition of the podcast. Kevin Warren comes with a reputation that he didn't really earn with the Vikings. There is an assumption he was the guy hugely responsible for the planning, development, construction of TCF Bank, which is regarded by players who play there, home and road teams, fans who attend, media who have seen all of the facilities in the NFL as state-of-the-art, second to none. There are some who will favor SoFi. There might be some who still favor what the Buccaneers have to offer. I know their grass certainly is the best in the world. By the way, did you know we had a George Tomalis Super Bowl? It's true. But Kevin Warren was more of a figurehead in the development of TCF Bank Stadium. His fingerprints are not on that as much, and I was guilty of this too. Without checking into it, when Warren was named Bears boss, I made the assumption, hey, the Bears need a new stadium. Arlington Heights is looming. He's the right guy. Wrong. Kevin Warren was not largely involved with that. So as my former mentor, Chet Kopic, used to say, E1, if you're scoring at home, I was wrong when I said that. And I hope a lot of the local guys will hear this podcast or hear about it and stop promulgating that mistruth. It didn't happen. Warren talked about his quarterback, Justin Fields, and it is his quarterback as of the date of this recording. Four things were said about Fields I want to address. The first of which is, how hard he works. Nobody has disputed that. I don't consider that the first thing you're going to look at when you're selling me on a quarterback to win a Super Bowl. I'm going to assume everybody who listens to this, who is in construction, you put your tool belt on every day without really thinking about it. Working hard to be an NFL player is expected. That doesn't need to be said. You know, maybe the Bears feel they need to say it because they have employed Jay Cutler and Cade McNown, who actually went into a game as an NFL starter without having looked at hardly any video of the San Francisco 49ers. And you know what? His performance showed it. The second thing Warren said about Fields may be the most damning, and that is he needs more help. He needs more help around him. He does need better protection. That's true. Does he have a great wide receiver in DJ Moore? I say yes, he does. How many top 10 wide receivers do you need to give him before you recognize it's on him and not on the guys who catch the hoochie? How many top 10 receivers did Jordan Love have this year? In blitzing the Bears on both occasions to punctuate the season at the end in week 18, and then he goes to Dallas and beats the Cowboys' ass. They score 48 points on the Cowboys. I know one of them was a pick six. I mean, maybe two of them, or a near pick six. Maybe it was called back. Fact of the matter is, who did Love have this year in passing for, what, 4,200 yards or something? Who did he have? Wicks? Ha! The rookie Reed? Come on. He had DJ Moore, and he had a more than acceptable tight end in Cole Kmet. I'm not going to defend the depth at wide receiver on the Bears because it's indefensible. Darnell Mooney will be somewhere else next year, but quit telling me about any Bears quarterback. It's not just Fields. He needs more help around him. He's got a top five receiver, arguably. Stop bitching about the help around him, and they have – the guy they took 10th last year in the first round, Darnell Wright, looks like he's going to be a pretty good offensive tackle. They had health issues, they had protection issues, and they were awful for Fields in week 18 when they lost to the Packers. That didn't help it. But man, one of the first things you point to, he needs more help around him? Jesus. Did the offensive rookie of the year, C.J. Stroud, have a ton around him in Houston? I don't think he did. He pointed to Fields, third item, being a tremendous athlete. Today's quarterbacks who take confetti showers are amazing athletes. This falls in the same work ethic bin. He's a great athlete. So is Patrick Mahomes. In case you didn't hear, he had the longest rush in Super Bowl 58. He has sneaky good quickness, and he's a really good athlete who can do things when he's moving. He's agile. He's been durable. Good athlete. Strong. Bigger presence when you stand in front of him. And that was something Warren noted too. And he's right when talking about Fields. But yeah, he's a good athlete. The most valuable player is a good athlete. Lamar Jackson didn't run as much as he used to. That's probably why the Ravens were better offensively this year. Good athlete. Great quarterback? Yeah, until it's January. So far, that's the rap on him. I expect him to be a good athlete. I expect him to work hard, and I expect him to be smart. That's the fourth item I want to talk about. He should be smart. And I, you know, it's up for debate whether Justin Fields is a smart quarterback at this point in his career. He makes bad decisions, and he holds onto the ball way too long. That's not always being smart. You got to be smarter than that. Don't you? I think so. So what did he tell us about the quarterback? He didn't really sell us on this guy being the type of guy who is going to take you to a Super Bowl. None of those things matter as big as what he does in the last 2 minutes of games. The Bears lost two games this past season when they had a statistical probability of 90%+ in the last 4 minutes or less. Quarterback can change those things. I'm tired of hearing, and this is unrelated to Kevin Warren's interview with Jared Payton on Channel 9. I'm tired of hearing how much his teammates are supporting him. Of course they support him. It just seems like not a day goes by where I don't scroll through the stories on my phone and somebody's writing about which teammate of Fields endorses him. Of course they do. They've been working with him. They see those things the president, the CEO, Kevin Warren talked about, so they buy in. They want him to be on that wall. They need him on that wall. They're drinking the Kool-Aid because it's beneficial to them if they're right. Willful delusion, maybe. But, yeah, of course they back him. The way Cody Whitehair, when he was still a reasonably serviceable NFL offensive lineman, believed in Mitch Trubisky. Do a rewind. Remember when much was made of Whitehair making Trubisky, who's available, by the way, if you want him, the Steelers didn't any longer. And why would they? They have Kenny Pickett. Maybe that's the landing spot for Fields. That's being discussed. He has Trubisky be the grandfather after his daughter is born. Cody Whitehair picked Mitch Trubisky to be his guy. And people told me at the time, well, you see how his teammates like him. You got to, no, I don't care who Whitehair's picked to be his daughter's. I get excited talking about this. His daughter's godfather. That doesn't matter to me. It shouldn't matter to you. Now, would it matter if they hated his ass? Yeah, unless he was a championship quarterback. There have been quarterbacks and great players in sports who went to the post and were victorious. Because of that, their teammates ignored the assholio factor. I can think of one who did that here in Chicago. He won 6 championships and was too cool to attend the Ring of Honor ceremony last month at the United Center. I don't care if it's great if they like him. You know, they didn't like Cutler. Had Cutler performed, you would have put up with that, and you still put up with it for 8 or 9 years until the Bears finally said they'd had enough. Warren's relationship with Ryan Poles also was telling. He noted it is possible for two alpha males to coexist harmoniously and be all for one and one for all. What is he telling you when he says that? He's telling you he wants to have his fingerprints on personnel decisions. And I told you that shortly after Warren got the job as CEO of the Bears. The scoop on Warren is he's a football man. He's not a builder of stadia. He's a football guy. Now, he's more of a politician football guy, a front man, than he is a trenches guy, a know what's happening at the combine guy, a know, you know, specific personnel. He's not a roll up the sleeves guy, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want to be, and he wants his voice heard in that room. He wants to have Ryan Poles not only his ear, he wants to be a large swing factor in that. And I inferred very clearly from Warren's words, and I listened to it a second time to make sure I wasn't just trying to pick a little bit of nonverbal communication or just one little piece of a phrase and build a narrative around it falsely, prejudicing myself. I learned that in True Detective Season 1. Episode 1, when Marty Hart tells Rust Cole that. Now, Rust was correct, but he did warn him about it. Anyway, this is what Kevin Warren wants to do. He wants to have a voice in personnel, and trust has not been developed yet. That's what I took out of it. They don't have that. They're working toward it, but it's not there yet. Watch the interview. Watch it again. And you tell me if you don't walk away from that thinking there still is much to be written in the relationship between the Bears CEO and their general manager. You can get to me on social media, by the way, at Danny Mac Show. Last thing I want to talk about, and I'll do it quickly, and this is a fear for me because I'm rooting for Arlington Heights to happen. And Warren said, the biggest takeaway is, if you're rooting for a retractable dome, odds are it ain't going to happen. And I think this is where George McCaskey and his mommy's influence are at play here, with their hands up his shirt in the back and moving his mouth like a ventriloquist, going on the cheap. Warren noted how little those NFL stadia with retractable roofs actually deploy them. Well, guess what? They are worth every dollar because of the revenue that pours into your community and state when you host a Super Bowl. Jeez, do the math. What a Super Bowl means to a host city and the state in which that city, come on. It's huge. Final Four. They're played in March, early April. I think it's the first Monday in April now, right? Is Loyola back? No, they're not. But he doesn't want to do a retractable. They never use it. Well, that means you don't get a Super Bowl. You don't get the Final Four. You don't get concerts when the weather sucks. You don't get a convention in that building if you wanted one. See, Ford Field, you can have a Super Bowl there. You can. They have. They won't do it in a cold weather city without one again. They did it in New York a few years ago, and they came within 14, 16 hours of really regretting it and ruining the day they made that decision because a blizzard wiped out the Northeast. Those who were still in town for that Super Bowl were stranded in Christopher Walken-ese. They couldn't get out. You're not going to get a retractable. And that's the McCaskey way. That's the way going back to the matriarch's father. And I've been refreshing myself lately on the history of George Halas, who was accused of by Mike Ditka of tossing around nickels like they were manhole covers. And he was sued by Dick Butkus at the conclusion of Butkus's career. Several players on the 63 team said he reneged on bonus clauses, didn't want to pay players who were successful, Ed Obradovich among them. Ed Obradovich is going to hold out in 64. And Halas said, the usual fine for missing a day at training camp is $100. For you, I'll make it $200. He was a real prick, and he was a cheap SOB. And everybody who played on the 60s knew it, but they didn't dare speak of it, even though they did when they hired counsel to pursue litigation against the Bears. And how George Allen left the Bears to take the Rams job. This is passed on generationally. And Virginia got it from her daddy, Papa Bear. And she passed it along to her kids. And George McCaskey is feeding it to Kevin Warren. And there's nothing the Bears CEO can freaking do about it. Not a thing. He's helpless in this situation. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I will talk again with you next. I don't know how much I want to get into the situation. Well, I want to get into it. Ryan Clark, who I loved when he was playing safety for the Pittsburgh Steelers, watch his highlight reel of his most vicious hits. There was one on Wes Welker that drew a penalty, and it's about as questionable gets. You see both sides of the argument, even though you shouldn't. It should be clear whether a guy led with the shoulder or hit the head because a player was redirected. There are a few things that change that and make it a very difficult to see. black and white rule. But Ryan Clark is holding ESPN hostage. He wants to be paid like a superstar, and he's not right now. So he is threatening to walk away from ESPN. Clark, a few years ago, refused to work with Sage Steele because she voted for Trump. And I would love to talk more at length about this, as well as some of the silliness and unnecessary airtime devoted to the tragedy in Kansas City Wednesday. And as the time of this recording, one dead, 21 injured in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs Super Bowl parade shootings. I wish it were as simple as some people who are paid a lot of money act like. And I'm going to go into this more, I think, unless I'm told by the big boss man, Baby Capone, Adam Delavitt. He runs everything here at Bet Rivers Podcast, to not do it. And Sam Michael, my EP, may talk me out of it. Randy Merkin may say, I don't want you to go in that direction. Well, it's much more simple than pulling a lever. And it seems to be that's the way so many people in powerful posts had to back away there. I'd have more pee poppage. It's the way they act. Like, you just pull a lever, and violence, school shootings, mass shootings are solved. It's not that simple. Quit wasting your airtime. Quit wasting my time and propose a solution, or shut the hell up. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Danny Mac Podcast. If you're enjoying it, please do me a favor. Tell a friend and ask them to tell a friend. I guess that's just two favors. I don't get a third. If I did, I would say free Genie. He was in that bottle for 10,000 years, and that'll cause an awful crink in the neck. I'm Dan McNeil. Have a great weekend. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.